Ladies and gentlemen, this time I need you all to silence your cell phones and hold your applause till after we are finished.
And most importantly, shut your mouth, because United by Wrestling is live, baby. I'm your host, Dustin Structure, my co-host.
The Shapestar, baby.
And we are going to sit here and talk about Clash of Champions. This is a Clash of Champions review show.
Yay!
Do you have any opening thoughts before we get
before we get into the actual card, I got a really good one, actually. This pay-per-view, for everybody that doesn't know, I'm sure they sure as hell talked about it enough. But for those of you who don't know, this pay-per-view tonight was live in Charlotte, North Carolina, which I live an hour and 10 minutes away from. And I did not attend this. Thank God I didn't. But I want to talk about the crowd for a minute. Let's talk about that crowd. What in the holiest of fucks was that? I mean, the place was actually packed. I mean, they actually showed the full arena. It looked full. And Charlotte is a big wrestling city. That's a big wrestling town.
Flair country.
And that's Flair. I mean, hell, even
Party Boys.
Even Charlotte didn't get that big of a pop. And like, she's from there. Cedric didn't get that big of a pop. He's from there. Like, the whole show, none of you idiots did anything whatsoever to make it feel like you were actually at a show. But then again, like I tweeted out during the show, this is pretty much usual from North Carolina crowds. You suck ass, which is why I tend to not attend big shows around here, like WWE shows. I stick to going to indie shows because at least the people are hyped for them. I mean,
so if I stand corrected, you say you and your mom are very close to going to that?
Yeah, we were actually like when I got paid last time, I was sitting there looking on StubHub and Ticketmaster for ticket deals, and like, two tickets were going to be like $120, and I thought about it, and I almost clicked place order, but thank God I didn't, because that would have been horrible. Like, not only was the show not that good, but the crowd was just like sitting on their hands half the time. I mean, with the stuff, I mean, granted, the first half of the show sucked, and, you know, I know there wasn't a whole lot to get hyped for, but geez, I mean, you could at least act like it, fake it a little bit.
Yeah, I want to use a crowd transition to a quick transition before we get into actual main card in pre-show. So, speaking of crowd sucking, we got our first dislike on a YouTube video because of software we used on our video recording. We didn't realize it'd be as bad as it was, so I just want to let you guys know we will not be video recording until we find a better software, because I personally, as the main host, take pride in what we put out, and that I was ashamed of how the final product went out, but we want to get the show out. So there will be no video recording, even though we promised there will be, because I would rather put quality over just trying to live up to my word.
Quality over quantity.
Well, we're doing quantity because we're trying to push the show out. It's kind of both. The emphasis on quality, though. So
that's what
we have two guests, Kevin from Wrestling Reverb, part of the Brainbuster Radio franchise. We look forward to having him this Tuesday. We're going to be talking about what the state of pro wrestling after the AEW shows, NXT show. We have NXT television debut this Wednesday. We just had Clash of Champions today. So we look forward to talking with him about kind of the state. And then on, what was the date with Ringside?
The 28th.
On the 28th of September, we're going to have Ringside Rant. You guys probably know him at this point because he's on a lot of podcasts. And we're going to start, he's going to help us usher in kind of a new theory, you know, that he uses. He kind of wanted to go over with us. It's going to be a what-if scenario. So what if a scenario, like a big-time moment in wrestling history didn't happen? We're not going to give away the topic because then you guys would be like, not wanting to tune in, but so
no,
we have two big guests.
Here.
So we have two big guests coming up. So good things are coming. So hopefully you guys tune in. There'll be no video unless we figure out a better way to get the video out.
Yeah, yo.
So we're going to transition back to the card. I just figured, you know, it would be a good transition talking about crappy crowds and the crappy product we put on last week. So it deserved a dislike. And, well, I mean, the audio is crappy, too, because we got a lot of predictions wrong.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we actually did. It was probably one of our Probably one of our worst 5-to-1 ratios ever, because like
usually we miss one or two tops, but yeah, we missed four.
Yeah, this one was not kind to you boys.
Well, in a good way, I guess it was unpredictable to us at this part. I mean, so I don't know, but all right. So pre-show, you and me don't normally watch.
Yeah, we don't watch those.
There's one thing that really kind of ruffled my feathers a tad bit is, obviously the cruiserweights, you know, they don't get on the main card, which is a shame, but that's, you know, expected.
Yep.
But why the hell was AJ Styles versus Cedric Alexander a title match, a damn good title match, on the pre-show, but Roman versus Rowan was on the main card? A non-title match. Well, please.
Obviously
it's Roman, so they're not going to put their golden boy, but you couldn't, you know, might as well save that. You know, it wasn't even that good of a match. Might as well save that for SmackDown.
Honestly, like, the only reason that was legit on the main card was Roman.
And that's bullshit. It's night dedicated to champions. You have a phenomenal match, pun intended, with Cedric, and that match was on the pre-show.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, honestly, if you wanted to have Roman on the main card so bad, that should have been the match that started the show off, and then you would have had time to still put Cedric and AJ on the main card. 30
minutes early.
Yeah, it's like, you still had time to give your, because AJ Styles, you know, any way you slice it, and Cedric Alexander too, but AJ Styles, any way you slice it, that motherfucker does not deserve to be on the pre-show any way, shape, or form. So, then the topic of the whole pay-per-view, Vince Logic, by the way, is Night of Champions. All champions are defended that night.
Clash
all
champions.
Clash, whatever. But still, it's like you have this, and then you put it on the pre-show because a match that has literally turned into one of the worst feuds of 2019 gets main card time.
Yeah,
it makes absolutely no damn sense. Like you said, the cruiserweights, that's unfortunate that they're always stuck on the main card or on the pre-show. But, you know, okay, you can forgive that one. But AJ Styles and Cedric Alexander should not have been in any way, shape, or form on the pre-show.
Yeah, I don't get that. I'll say if they wanted, there was time left. They want Roman and Rowan on the main card, which it's Vince's going, boy, so you know Roman's going to be on there regardless. Then you should have at least, you know, put AJ and Cedric as an opening match. I mean,
yeah, you had time. You had all the time in the world to do it because the show finished 30 minutes early. So, you know, you had plenty of time because Cedric and AJ's match was not 30 minutes long. So you had the time to put them on there too with it.
They could give them a 10-to-15-minute matching. They had enough time on the rest of the show, so
yeah, that was a horrible, horrible decision. Definitely not booked right.
But AJ retained. You know, did you see, you know, any other result? I didn't think so. We both picked AJ on the prediction.
Yeah, we both picked
that one right.
Yeah, we got both the pre-show right. Both matches,
yeah,
on the pre-show.
Picked Gulak too.
Yeah, yeah. So we were 2-0 going into the main card.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a shame they built the OC. They looked like they're going to be dominant, and then
yeah, now they're
quickly.
I wonder if that has anything to do with the recent story on Gallows.
What's the recent? Go ahead and share that. I don't even know.
Now, of course, as with all rumors and news things we discuss on the show, you know, don't quote us on this. This is just stuff I read around. Apparently, Gallows has been going around different towns and shit, picking up chicks to sleep with. And
yeah, Gallus is a pimp.
Well, he's been like pretty much hosing around every town they go to, and this one chick recently like screenshotted texts from him and shit, and like they met up, went out, and then they met up again, and she slept with him, and then she tried to contact him, and he was ducking and dodging, and then he comes back like a day later and says he doesn't want a relationship, but it turns out he has a girlfriend.
No.
All this other crap that it's like, so like I said, this is just what I read. Now, don't quote me 100% on this, but that's maybe they don't like that about Mr. Gallows.
Can't be any worse than Big Cass. And if you want to know about that, look that up.
Yeah, look that up. That's just sad as fuck.
All right, main card. We got Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode with Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman for the Tag Team Championships. Did you have any thoughts about this match? We got this one wrong. I honestly didn't think this was
Yeah, we actually got this one wrong. And I mean, I'm glad we actually did get this one wrong. Because like as we've talked about on the shows before, you know, leading up to this, how random of a tag team Roode and Ziggler actually are. I mean, I guess they're wanting to stick with it and see where it goes because obviously they've just won the tag team titles. I mean, I'm cool with that because, in my opinion, I think you actually tweeted this. It's just good to see Bobby Roode with a title, or Robert Roode, excuse me.
I'm going to call him Bobby.
I'm going to call him Bobby, damn it, so, you know, sue me. But it's like to see it's good to see Bobby Roode with a title again because the man is title material all the way around.
He's a superstar if booked right.
Yeah, easily.
You saw how good he was in NXT. I mean, I was thinking if he didn't win tonight, he'd be one of the good ones to get sent back down to NXT and get get promoted to NXT.
Yeah, it's definitely not a demotion at this point.
Yeah. So I'm glad they won. I like, you know, it's interesting to see how they rolled a ball with Ziggler and Roode. I don't know why we really predicted Braun and Seth to win. It should have been predictable. I just kind of...
Yeah, I kind of figured... I just thought that with the... You know, the engagement that people have been showing, you know, Seth and Braun with their impromptu tag team, you know, style or whatever, that it was going to end, that they might actually carry it on. But it was, if you look at the writing on the wall, shit, it was predictable as hell.
Well, and they're bigger names, and Ziggler and Roode are two guys that Vince really has never cared for. So I didn't really think there was going to be a way they won, but I'm glad they won.
But speaking of,
you know, Seth and Braun are going to do their things. It's nice to see guys like Ziggler and, especially Roode not having to chase the 24/7 title around.
But speaking of that, Curt Hawkins was on the pay-per-view tonight. If anybody caught that, by the way.
Or if anybody cared.
If anybody cares or caught that, yep. Curt Hawkins was on the pay-per-view tonight. Got pay-per-view time because he was part of the crew chasing R-Truth.
What the hell, dude?
I'm actually not going to lie. I thought they... I know we'll get to that in a minute, but the match itself, but I actually thought they were honestly going to let Alexa win that title. I really did.
Yeah, that quick roll up, that would have been funny.
Yeah, I legit thought they were going to do that.
All right, so up next, we got SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley versus Charlotte Flair.
Thank God we got this one right.
In the defense of this card, though, I don't really see many spots that were booked wrong, you know. I think, really, the pay-per-view disappointment comes from the fans. The matches themselves were not terrible, and they were booked right, but it's hard to, you know, the audience, believe it or not, makes a lot in the show. You know, if they don't react to a big spot, you know, you miss it.
Yeah, because, like, legit, the first, all the way up until Becky and Sasha, like, I was bored out of my fucking mind with this show. And
that's why I don't go to any pay-per-view but WrestleMania, because my views are shaded now. Yeah. I would say maybe me are a little biased.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like,
we're used to 80,000 people losing their mind and having a great week that we don't know what it's like to be in a little 15,000-person arena.
Well, I mean, it's like, hell, I've been going to shows around here for a while in Greensboro and Charlotte.
PWX, indie wrestling.
No, but I mean, it's like when WWE usually comes here, whether it be Charlotte or Greensboro, I usually go, and it's like most of the time, like I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, 7 out of 10 times, the crowds are not into it. It's just weird. And
yeah, I'm used to it. That's what it's like in Oregon every time they come to our state.
Right, so. And it's like, yeah, and then when you compare it to something like WrestleMania, it's, you know, it kind of mixes the views a little bit.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is I don't really think, I mean, we'll get to the other match. There's two that I think were pretty bad. But, so Bayley, the way she won... And the way, I don't understand her character at all.
Oh, yeah, I still don't, but...
So she's supposed to be heel, but she's hell has those inflatable, floaty things coming out, and her music's still high-tempo, positive,
and she's still, and she's still high-fiving the fans coming down the entrance ramp.
And, but yet she is heel?
But yet she wins with a very, very old, in the trick in the book, heel tactic with the exposed turnbuckle.
And... She's trying to be a positive role model, and she made it even funnier on Twitter when she said Becky had to cheat to win, of course. Tweeted that, and it's funny as hell.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't understand, like, I mean, Obviously, you're building up to something. I just don't know what. And I want to have faith that it's going to go, but it's Vince. Somehow this is going to fall flat on its face.
Yeah, because, like, well, I mean, look at a lot of, like, the, like, for example, to use an example here, the Roman storyline, that had potential at the beginning, and yet it fell flat on its face. And then, you know, you take it back to this. You have the amazing opportunity of finally turning Bayley heel, but you're not really doing it.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's leading up to the full-fledged one, I guess.
Not all heel turns are good. We saw a good Ambrose's heel turn went.
Yeah, that one was great.
Trash.
And I say great with sarcasm, but it's just weird because, you know, you don't know exactly what the direction is because, like, you know, with her entrance, but yet then she pulls out the heel tactics to win the match.
And, yeah, like someone posted on one of our tweets I put out, you know, maybe they're going off the heel a hypocrisy angle.
I like that. Like, that's a good idea, actually.
Like, she says she's a role model. You know, she's still coming out and going, but she's cheating and then accusing other people of cheating.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of actually, like, if that's the way they're going about it, I actually kind of dig that.
Say it's like a, what, two faces bipolar side of Bayley.
Yeah, it's like, she says this, but she does this. That's not a bad idea.
Because that's heat. Yeah, you know, she's getting a lot of heat for cheating tactics on some of her cheating. Right, cheat,
but yet she's still trying to be all smiling and hugging and happy.
And, I mean, I like the result because it continues to build the storyline, too. There's controversial, you know, she had an exposed turnbuckle. Charlotte hit it, Bayley rolled her up, and then absolutely booked it. Like, she was running a 100-meter dash and track. And
nice title run. Haha. Yes, I pun that. Shut up.
So, I mean, I like the result. Once again, though, the crowd didn't react to the exposed turnbuckle.
No, they didn't react to shit.
Boo Bayley. They didn't boo Bayley really at all. When she was, I mean, then again, even though Charlotte's supposed to be a face, people are sick of Charlotte.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to fault the crowd on that one. This is the match that really disappoints me. They didn't give any, like, anything to. It was the Revival versus the New Day.
Yeah.
I know people are sick of this match, trust me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it was still a good match. I mean,
their matches are always good. It's never a question of if their matches are going to be good, because this one was no exception. I mean, it wasn't a bad match. It was actually a quite good match.
Well, I think the Revival winning the tag titles was good. I thought maybe the henchmen and the leader were going to win all titles. Of course, that didn't happen, which confuses me, but... So it's cool. The Revival are the definition of tag team wrestling.
Yeah, they are.
Them
are.
Having the belts as the top guys is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they are, like I tweeted out during that match, I mean, they are easily one of my favorite tag teams in the business, and it's because of their commitment and dedication to true tag team wrestling. You don't see a lot of tag teams like them in the business anymore.
They work apart, and they really played up Xavier Woods' injuries. Like,
yeah,
they really
sold. I mean, hell, they even sold it enough to rip his gear and expose the knee. Like, that kind of shit, you don't see that kind of shit anymore from, you know, tag teams. And they keep that old-school tag team mentality alive, and that's one of the things I love about them, aside from the fact that they're just both amazing wrestlers.
Yeah, because that's the perfect dirty heel tactic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Xavier did a good job selling it, too.
Yeah,
so.
He sold the shit out of that.
I'm just kind of tired of that New Day shtick.
Well, that's because to me, you know, I know a lot of people still love him, but to me, it's like, it's old, stale, and drawn out at this point. I feel like it's extremely run its course at this point in time, anyway.
How many years has it been now?
Oh, good God. It's been at least 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's been awful.
I mean, it's like, it's been, I know it's been more than 3. I don't know if it's been fully 4 or not, but I know it's been at least 3.
So they were the guest hosts at 33, so yeah. That's been 2 years.
And they were already there before that.
32, they had, they got stunned by, Xavier Woods got stunned by Austin, so they had that whole Michaels-Austin Foley segment.
Yeah.
With the League of Nations, so that's been about 3 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, and they had just come in, I think, shortly after 31, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been at least over 3 years. I mean, honestly, it's drawn out at this point.
Yeah, but the kids love them, and that's kind of
well, and they're, and they are
the appeal.
And they are cash cows, and you know Vince loving that cash.
And they sell a lot of money. They sell a lot of tickets. So,
I mean, they
sell a lot of merch.
They sell tickets, and they sell a shit ton of merch in those ugly-ass shirts. But I mean, hey, you know, that's what Vince likes, so that's why they're still there. And
they're building new tag teams. You're gonna have the Usos, the Revival, and the New Day for the next 7 months, 8 months. I mean,
yay!
Not you know, because it's going on like two, three years of those three tag teams. So
it's at least over three for Usos, New Day. Yeah, for both of them. So it's like, good God, dude, let's kind of build up something new here. If booked
so
right.
So I think the Revival win was, once again, I think that was booked right.
Yeah, that was definitely booked right.
Up next, we got the Women's Tag Team Champions match, Alexa and Nikki versus Fire and Desire. I'm not going to lie, I had shit to do. This is kind of a piss break match. I know you tweeted once or twice about how...
I mean, it wasn't any match to write home about. But, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it was just kind of average at best, honestly. I mean, I'm glad to see Mandy and Sonya get a shot at it, but I honestly think they should have. I honestly won it. I really do.
I feel like Alexa and Sonya. I mean, not Alexa. Sorry, Mandy and Sonya are the Samoa Joes of the women's division.
Yeah,
without the talent in wrestling, Billy.
Right.
I'm sorry. That'll be an insult to Joe. No offense to Mandy and Sonya, but. They never win the big match. Yeah. I know Mandy had a couple of title matches against Asuka.
Yeah, she did.
And lost both of them.
Yeah, and then they finally get a shot at the women's tag titles and lose it.
That whole storyline was trash.
Yeah, it really was.
It was built off shaming Nikki Cross, and that's how you're going to build the storyline?
Yeah, it's built off of that because you heard it on a podcast she was on, and then you use it in your storyline to build up the match. And like I said, I mean, the match wasn't awful. It wasn't like I can't watch this, but it was just there. Honestly,
I mean, it was a circus. You had a freaking 24/7 title match happen during it.
I say you had a 24/7 title run in during it.
Say it was just thrown together, terrible.
I mean, I'd like to see Mandy and Sonya win the tag team titles, but now hopefully that. Their title shot is over. Maybe they can get somebody else in there and have
a... Like Kudo, who's left?
That's the problem.
Iconics?
That's the problem. I mean, are the Iconics going to get their rematch or...
Oh, because there's no such thing as rematches in WWE anymore.
Yeah, so...
Unless you're a top guy and all of a sudden you're getting 10 different rematches.
Or if you look at a title and you're a top guy, then you can get a title shot. But it's like... I don't know. That's the question now is who's left.
That's some random thrown together tag team. Hell, Alexa and Nikki were randomly thrown together and they're champions.
Yeah, and
I guess it's the flavor of the month on who Vince thinks is a funny pairing.
And I mean, and if it works, like, see, Alexa and Nikki, they work because their chemistry together is awesome. And they work. It turns out they work, but it's like, who else can he find that, you know, works that would actually be a legitimate contending tag team for it?
I hate to say I don't like to be unprofessional, but yeah, I mean, not unprofessional, but like, I don't know what to call it. But most of the talk about the tag team, that tag team match was how good looking Mandy and Alexa looked in that match.
Oh, they looked incredible.
I know, and I don't like talk about that, but unfortunately, that was.
Oh yeah, that was the biggest talking point because Alexa channeled her inner like Harley Quinn Suicide Squad looking makeup style and.
Mandy's just Mandy,
and she debuted that new pink gear. Everybody was like, "That's what everybody was legit talking."
I hate to say that, and unfortunately, that
I mean,
I'm not getting my opinion because you're not going to like it. But I kind of agreed with that point.
Well, I mean, they looked incredible. Don't get me wrong. And then you have Graves on commentary drooling over both of them the whole match long.
Of course.
And I mean,
it doesn't help when Graves is making that kind of the.
I'm point sorry, but
that's just how good like, looking they are.
I like Graves, but good God, he really needs to stop commentating. He really does.
From what I heard, there's going to be changes. I don't know what those are going to
be.
Well,
rumor has it they're going to put him and Cole on SmackDown.
And Renee and.
And,
no, I heard Renee was going to SmackDown.
I heard, like, well, it's like, I don't know.
That's not, like, reporting, because there's so many rumors going on, like, about that whole thing.
It's like, they don't, and I think that's because they honestly don't know what the fuck they're doing half the time.
I know Fox is high on Renee, and they want her to host some show on their channel or whatever.
And I know, like, and I mean, obviously, like, the only one that's solidified there is Cole, because Cole will go wherever Vince tells him to.
Which is whoever Fox wants.
And it's like, does Fox want Cole? Then Fox is going to get Cole.
Yep. So, I know, I hate to make that the talking point of the show, but it seemed kind of what it was.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, the match itself was nothing special. I mean, The funniest part was Nikki trying to do Mandy's move her hips segment. That was funny. That was funny. But the match itself was just there. I mean, it just took up some time, and let's move on.
Yeah. That kind of gives a female what we thought about, you know, I don't know. Up next was Shinsuke Nakamura with Sami Zayn versus The Miz.
You know my only complaint about this match?
What?
Why didn't they let Sammy continue commentating it on the live mic the whole time?
Say they told him someone cut it on him.
That was gold. That was freaking gold.
I think the rest of the match, unfortunately, wasn't.
No, the match itself, honestly, like, and I don't mean any disrespect to Shinsuke or Miz, but that match kind of sucked.
That was one of the worst matches.
And it's like, and like I said, I don't mean any disrespect to Miz or Shinsuke. Like
I was bitching about how, once again, this is kind of what got me fed up with your home state, is Shinsuke got no reaction.
And let me reiterate to you and the people listening, this is not, and I repeat, this is not my home state. I just have to live here at this current point in time.
Like, Miz didn't even get a reaction. You can hear a pin drop.
That's because Miz is, I mean, like, Miz is cool.
No, but Shinsuke and Miz
Shinsuke, both got that reaction. They both got that react, and it's just like, and honestly, they weren't even reacting to Sammy's gold on the mic commentating the match.
Yeah, he got like one little whimper of a boo.
And then, honestly, like the match itself, honestly, if they'd have let Sammy continue to commentate that through the whole night, through the whole match, that would have been good. That would have made the match better.
Probably
than
the best part.
That would have made the match better because the match was not good.
Yeah, there wasn't very much. I don't know if it's just a chemistry thing. And we got, I don't remember our prediction because was
Miz.
I couldn't tell. It was Cole saying if he won that match or tied Jericho. I couldn't tell.
Well, our prediction like, broke was, Jericho. Our prediction was Miz on it.
That's what I'm saying. But what were they? There was something about title reign record. Was Miz gonna tie Jericho or break Jericho? What was Cole saying? I can't.
He
remember.
He was gonna tie him.
I'd say he didn't because you know obviously Jericho's in the other company. So and we've seen Vince be petty with people who have left AJ and CM Punk records being broken.
Yeah.
By non-deserving people.
Right, but I mean, it's just like, well, we still got it wrong, though. I was like,
and
damn.
It just, like, I was kind of, I hate to say it, but I was bitching a lot about how Sammy and Nakamura should just go back to NXT.
They really should. Truth
I saw a good idea from Turnbuckle Topics, and I thought, you know, I agree with that. Sami Zayn was the face of NXT, the
oh,
heart
yeah.
and soul of it.
Oh, yeah, and definitely.
Him and Neville, when NXT was first starting up. You know, his match with Cesaro kind of put NXT on the map.
Oh, yeah. I mean, him and
him and Nakamura have been worldwide, you know, mega stars before WWE for years.
And then becoming the faces of NXT,
Sami Zayn helped put NXT on the map, and Nakamura became a big star, too.
Yeah, they really...
The WWE crowd in the NXT.
They really need to see if old Hunter will let him come back down there.
If it's going to go 2 hours, maybe Hunter will have time to have, you know, they did have Tyler Breeze and Fandango.
Yeah.
And Zayn and Shinsuke, even though Shinsuke's champ, just seem like they're lost in the shuffle big time.
Oh, yeah, easily. And Shinsuke's felt that way since, honestly, since he's been on the main roster. Aside
they
from
had a little feud with AJ at 34, but
I'll say, aside
that was so
from,
lackluster.
I'll say, aside from him winning the Royal Rumble, and most people, honestly, I think, forget he's a Royal Rumble winner. And
yeah.
You know, he goes on to face AJ Styles at WrestleMania, and what turned from a dream match to a very lackluster, disappointing match.
And then I would do a heel turn of a low blow, and ever since that, it's just like...
And then, yeah, and then it's like, he really should just try to get back his way back down to NXT, and where he can actually be the superstar that we know, that everybody knows that he is.
And Hunter doesn't care if you know how to speak English.
Yeah, Hunter cares about...
Obviously, that's Vince Dinger on Shinsuke.
And, well, Hunter cares about what he should care about. How good of a wrestler are you?
Yeah, that NXT crowd cares. Pretty much NXT is just a bigger indie crowd.
Yeah, it's like, because the indie, like the NXT crowds, it don't matter if you can't speak English, French, Japanese, Chinese, Hindis, whatever the fuck. If you're a good wrestler and you're entertaining in what you do, then it's like you have a place there.
And yeah, because neither of those guys should be heels. They're both bad heels. And not bad, but they...
Not believable as heels.
It's not believable because they're mega baby faces, especially Sami Zayn.
Yeah, and it's just like, let them go back there and, you know, do what they know that, or we know and everybody knows that they should be doing.
Just not the old man running the show.
Yeah, just please, get away from him.
So, up next we got the boss. It's boss time!
That was a shot, by the way.
What?
Drinking game. Take a shot.
Oh. I thought you said a shot at her. Like, no, I actually really enjoy Sasha Banks.
No, like, boss time. That's a good one.
Boss time and the big dog.
Yep.
And we got Sasha versus Becky. I thought this might have been the best part of the whole show.
Yeah, I mean, this match was, honestly, this is the first time that, like, from the beginning of the show that I actually, like, the first match I actually truly enjoyed. The match was incredible.
Well, hype-wise, and I enjoyed the Revival versus New Day, but it just, we've seen it so many times, but I get what you mean.
Yeah, it's like the hype, you know, the match was incredible. They continued it in a way, they kept the feud going in a way that actually wasn't stupid, like a double countout. And, I mean, the inadvertent chair shot on the ref kind of thing, well, you know.
Yeah.
And then the post-match beatdown. It was a really brilliant way to continue the feud. And
yeah, it took them 20 minutes to explain and say the match was over.
Yeah,
I guess they wanted to give enough time to brawl over the arena.
And the brawl was, you know,
mustard on Sasha's back.
The brawl was sold brilliantly, and, you know, obviously they're going to meet at Hell in a Cell, probably inside Hell in a Cell, and that's going to be good as hell. No pun intended.
Having Sasha back's really refreshing.
I think. It really is.
I feel like it's brought that spark out of Becky, because Becky was in some awful feuds going into this.
Yeah, and it's like it's been a revival for the division, not only for, and then personally for Sasha, and, well, you know, I agree on the Becky point, because literally she's been stale as shit since WrestleMania.
It's Becky, it looked like the man, fired up, aggressive, you know, talking shit, like.
Yeah, and
she actually had that man feel to her again.
And she's done, and I honestly, she's done some of her best promos since WrestleMania with this feud. And the whole thing was great. I loved it from start to finish.
I think Becky doesn't work well unless it's someone that's like ruthless and kind of acts like they're a badass. You know, obviously Rousey.
Yeah.
And then Sasha's kind of in that same mentality. You know, it's boss time, or, you know, rent's due.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It's like, so, you know, person that thinks they're a badass and has an attitude like they're a badass, I think Becky works better with.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, I mean, and it works because you have the personas that match up so well, and obviously the chemistry is there because they, you know, they both tore it up in NXT. So I'm glad that they actually went ahead with this. This has definitely been booked right.
And the ending was booked right. It gives you, you know, Sasha won, but Becky keeps the towel, which is going to set up a
Hell in the Cell.
And they're going to blame it, you know, on them brawling around. So they're going to put them in a structure that
you can't. You know, yeah.
It's nowhere to run.
Right. And everything's legal because they did everything that wasn't legal. So put them in the structure where you can't run and everything's legal so you can do what you want.
For a second, I thought they were just having an AEW style match where it's a singles match and it's technically disqualification, but you don't call it.
Yeah, honestly, because, like, that was the only botch up part of the match was not announcing sooner that Becky had gotten disqualified. I mean, because
you're
like,
just sitting there like, dude, is this because, a count? Like,
yeah, because, you know, Becky hits the ref with the chair and then they start brawling and you figure, oh, they're just brawling because the ref's out and they have nobody to count them out or anything. So they're just going with the brawl. And then they finally make it back to the arena, to the ring, and they say, oh, yeah, Becky's been disqualified. Sasha wins.
It's like official. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what the and then, of course,
that's the only thing that was awkward about the whole thing.
And then,
but
this is where WWE doesn't need to do shit like this, because then they go on Twitter and say Becky's been fined for hitting a ref.
Oh my god!
And it's just like, you don't need to add shit like that to it. Okay, she got.
How does that help the feud at all?
It doesn't do anything, because, like, you know damn well, first off, she didn't get fined. That's not believable.
I'll say.
That's not believable. And then it's like, you think that that's going to add something to the feud when it really doesn't, because what does it do? It doesn't do anything for Becky or Sasha. So, and then
just add extra when you don't need to add extra.
Yeah, it's just like, you should have just left it at, okay, they had a hell of a match, a hell of a brawl, and it ended perfectly so that it can guarantee the setup for Hell in the Cell on October 6th. That's all you needed to do.
I'll say, oh, what, is Sasha going to do a corny promo bringing up that Becky got fined? Like,
it's like, yeah, you took my WrestleMania payday, so I'm going to take your Clash of Champions payday? Like, what the fuck?
Which is probably nothing at all. So I mean,
I was like, which I can't imagine the Clash Fortune. I can't imagine the Clash of Champions payday is like a WrestleMania payday. So you know, that's just the kind of pushing it a little too far kind of thing.
This is probably my favorite feud in WWE right now.
Yeah, honestly, aside from on the women's side, it's my favorite feud, and then on the men's side, well, is the match that's up next.
Yeah, so I just think, yeah, I'm just so glad to see Sasha heel again. Yeah. It just brings a different energy.
Because honestly, she's a natural at it.
Yeah, easily, we saw it. When she was doing that shit in NXT, she was probably the biggest star in NXT at that time because of it.
Yeah, and she plays it so perfectly.
So up next, we got Orton versus Kingston.
I was honestly like surprised with the outcome of this. Not in the fact that Kofi won, because we both predicted that Kofi was going to win, but I'm surprised they actually went with the clean finish.
Yeah, but I'd say, does that mean this feud's over?
I mean,
that's pretty lackluster end to a feud.
Yeah, that was so personal and good. I hope not, because honestly, this is one of those feuds like we talked about at the beginning of it when we started talking about it on the show at the very beginning of the feud. This is a feud that needs to go at least 3 pay-per-views. And what better way, what better match to end the feud at than in a Hell in the Cell match?
I mean, you have all this ruthlessness, you know, Randy Orton, you know, feigned, you know, the punt kick, like, yeah, all that stuff.
And then, it's like, you go from the stupid double countout, which was, you know, stupid, but, well, it set up this match, but then this match ends clean. So where is the...
It's over?
Is it... Please tell me that's not... It's actually not over, because...
Well, how are you going to build up Randy saying, oh, I got... Like, how do you build up that?
I mean, that's...
Yeah, pin clean.
Yeah. I mean, unless he just spends the next week or so costing Kofi matches until Kofi agrees to another match with him at Hell in the Cell.
Keep attacking his buddies in the New Day at the Revival.
They keep using the Revival to attack the New Day, and then...
And that's when this feud gets boring, too, is because they keep doing the same shit every weeks.
They put themselves in a really awkward spot with the ending to this, because... Unless it is truly over, unless he's going to face somebody new at Hell in the Cell, which would really suck, because that would not be the way that this feud after 10 years should be ended.
The who, Eric Rowan?
Oh, God. No.
I mean, no, because that other feud's not over.
No.
But, I mean, I just, like, who, how are they going to book Randy to be the challenger again? And if he's not the challenger, who would be?
That's where they put themselves in such a spot with this, because if you don't want the feud to end, how can you legitimately make Randy look like he should be the challenger one more time because he lost clean, but then you have nobody else being built up at the moment to take the spot of being the challenger at Hell in the Cell?
They like, name one person, like, who do you, like, what, Owens got fired.
Yeah.
Fired.
So quote unquote.
Shane McMahon feud's gonna continue.
I mean, hell, good God, I could see it being Shane. I'm just kidding, everybody.
God, I can see it too.
Well, it's Hell in the Cell. No.
I can see it being Lesnar.
Well, yeah, there's that.
When's Fox's debut?
October 4th. 2 days before Hell in the Cell.
Oh my God. And Fox wants Lesnar. Oh no.
Yeah, I could see it being I could see it being Lesnar too, because they want him as a champion when they go there.
Oh no!
I mean, they want him as a Friday Night SmackDown champion.
Please no.
So I could see it being him.
See, because I just I'm sure somehow it's gonna be Orton, but I just don't know how. Like, it's probably, the thing is, by the time, you know, with him being clean and him somehow getting our title shot, it's just gonna be like same old shit. You know, they're not gonna do anything exciting to get him back into SmackDown.
Yeah, because it's like that's where, honestly, they should have honestly done another, not double count out, but they should have did a disqualification finish or something.
Like the punt kick and him getting disqualified, right? Because I'm pretty sure, isn't that move banned?
I do believe it is.
So him doing that and they disqualify him for that.
Yeah, and then, see, he would have a legitimate
He knocked out Kofi but got disqualified.
Yeah, it's like he would have a legitimate, because then he could be, then he could come back and say, you know, I want it again, but in a match with no disqualifications, no rules, you
no
know,
countouts,
no countouts.
Which was the theme of all the ends that they had.
Yeah, so it's like no countouts, no disqualifications, no rules, just you and me inside Hell in the Cell, and that would work.
Yeah, no one, I like, they're going to have some random ass, like, Fatal 4-Way, and Randy will win that. The generic Fatal 4-Way they always do.
Yeah, or some fucking little gauntlet, like, five-person gauntlet, and Randy will be the last one in and on somebody
they're
that's...
building a storyline to get another shot somehow. They're going to do some random ass...
Yeah, it's like, really? It'll be like a little five-person gauntlet, and he'll come in on whoever started, and... They'll be all tired, and he'll hit an RKO and win it and get his match. And then it's like that completely erases the legitimacy of the whole thing because, oh, he's got another match, but why?
So instead of just building up the storyline of the two, you know, still going personal and all that, it's just going to be something stupid. Or it's going to be Lesnar.
Yeah, or that, I mean, it's either way, they're kind of they kind of fucked up because it's going to be really stupid after this because, like you said, either they're going to do some random ass qualification match and Randy will win it, or you know they'll just put the match together and completely take out the legitimacy of the feud, or it's going to be fucking somebody like Lesnar or some shit. And it's not going to have any build whatsoever. And then you're going to take the best feud in the last, one of the best feuds of the last couple of years and end it, have it end on a great match. But the ending was, for a feud of that caliber, should not have ended that way.
It's kind of an underwhelming end.
Yeah, it really was.
I didn't think Randy was going to win. But I thought, you know, there would be one more at least.
Yeah, if they're going to, and it's like, if the feud is in fact over, you want to talk about a 10-year in the making feud ending like that? That's horrible.
Well, I mean, I'm sure Kofi's gonna go over and pin him clean at some point. I just thought the second match in was kind of early.
Right, right.
But we'll see. I guess it depends on if Fox values Kofi as a champion going in.
Yeah, and of course there's all that too. So,
but up next, oh my god,
what?
Eric Rowan versus Roman Reigns.
Oh yay! Let's talk about this. I couldn't wait to talk about this. I'm really hoping. Honestly, I'm really truly hoping that people are sensing my sarcasm in that because holy crap, this sucked.
I mean, not only was it a non-title match, but why was it the last match?
Well, technically,
a whole bunch of title matches went before it.
Well, technically, it was the co-main event. If you want to,
co-main event. See, I guess another wording for it.
Well, because before the show, this was actually wrote to be the main event.
And they got a lot of backlash.
And then, of course, they had to switch it because this, a non-title match headlining a pay-per-view about champions, which neither of these men are, so...
I mean, Vince says this feud sucks, but yet you have the victory that happened with Rowan winning.
With help from the returning Luke Harper...
Yeah, which boy, should have been the person to do it in the first place if they were going to have him return.
Yeah, honestly. See, this is one of the if booked right moments, because this was definitely not. I think it's like, because Harper, honestly, is one of the most underrated people on the roster. I mean, the guy is damn good. And if you don't believe me, look at his indie work. The guy is damn good. And if you're going to have him back, if you worked a new deal with him, which obviously they did because he's back, it should have been him to start the feud with.
Yeah.
I mean, because honestly, Eric Rowan, I mean, I don't know how anybody can sit there and say the guy has got any it factor whatsoever. I mean, I'm not disrespecting the guy. I'm just saying from an entertainment standpoint, the guy does not have a factor that draws you into his character or his persona at all. And his match with Roman was standard as holy shit. I mean, it was
no disqualification match. It's everything we've seen before.
Yeah. And it was like, it was the bigger guy beat down, and I mean, then Harper returns and helps. It's like, it was complete awful trash, just like the whole feud has been this whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, except for the beginning of the feud had potential, but then, of course, They drag it out too far, and then it turns
Vince
out to be...
Vince says it sucks, but then he's the one booking it.
Yeah, and then it's like...
Vince is pissed at the feud.
Well, you're the one that booked it, dumbass.
Then you have him win to keep it going.
Yeah, because now it's going to keep it going because now Roman's going to have to find a partner or some shit because he got attacked. I'll say it'll probably be, well, yeah, it'll be Brian because
turn Brian face, which could be good.
I'll say you'll turn Brian back face because Rowan turned on him. And then it's like, you're turning on you. You're turning on you. We're turning on each other all the time. That
and
didn't
Brian
sound
will
right.
Brian probably turn on Roman and recreate the Wyatt family.
Oh, Jesus. Let's not do that. I mean, honestly, Brian is a
they
face.
They recreate the Bludgeon Brothers.
Oh, God. Yeah, we saw how well we saw how entertaining the Bludgeon Brothers were at 34 when you and I both went to take a piss during their match.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, honestly, the whole match was trash, and the ending was trash, and
such underwhelming for a feud that actually had a lot of potential at the beginning.
I mean, because honestly, if you'd have done it at the beginning of all right, maybe 2 weeks of the mysterious attacks on Roman. And then you actually, on the third week, have it be revealed to be Harper and build the match up, it wouldn't have been as bad.
So Harper's more likable and can be more over than Rowan. Like, I don't think any time Roman's ever been over. Rowan. Why do I always get Rowan?
Rowan and Roman. Yeah, it's a little bit of a tongue twister there.
I don't think Rowan has ever really been over.
No.
Even the Wyatt family. It was Harper and Wyatt's show.
Yeah, and it's like... Rowan, like I said, and I mean the guys, you know, the guys in the business doing his thing, but he just does not have that it factor of a performer that draws you in and makes you feel a type of emotion, whether it be you love the guy, you hate the guy, you somewhat like the guy, he's kind of cool, you don't really like him, but you don't know why. Kind of, he doesn't have any of that. He's just a really tall dude that doesn't obviously have a subscription to Dollar Shave Club. So
and he's I just think he's boring.
I mean, honestly, he is. That's what I mean. That's like when I say the it factor, he doesn't have any of that of what most superstars on the roster have, that either you can look at him and you go, "Oh, I'm a fan of his," or "I like her," or, you know, "I don't like him, but it's because of, you know," he doesn't have any of that. He has none of that. He's just there.
Yeah, I'm saying he's a decent wrestler. Other than that, like, there's not anything. It should have been Harper from the beginning. I just hope Harper didn't re-sign, because this is what they got for him, he's going to go back to...
I mean,
Gallus and Anderson.
Well, the only way that I'm thinking he was on TV tonight is if he re-signed, because if he hadn't, he would still be sitting at home waiting for his contract to run out.
I'm hoping he just got bored and got tired of staying at home and is going to let it run out. Like, I don't know, has the Revival re-signed, or are they doing the same thing?
Well, it looks like, that's the thing, it's like nobody fucking knows at this point.
That's what I mean, I've never seen them announce a Revival re-sign. They haven't announced Harper re-signing. I'm sure that will come out the next day or two if he did. And like you said, I don't know why he'd be there if he didn't. I just hope not, because
hell, he's been sitting.
Unless this is going to be a legitimate big push.
Which Harper, honestly, I think Harper's been long overdue for that, because honestly, of his talent, and we both know, because we checked, you know, we've known Harper's career for quite a while, and it's like he honestly can take a good push and run with it if they give it to him.
No, he's likable. He's always got decent fan reactions.
Oh yeah, I mean he's likable, and his mic work is good, and his in-ring work is good. And
for a big guy, especially,
I'd say for a guy his size, his athleticism is insane. So, you know, on the receiving end of a proper push, he could actually be something if they book it right, of course.
Yeah, that's the big thing. But to end the show, we got Rollins versus Strowman.
Yay.
This match had just another big guy fail. Rollins getting manhandled at the beginning and hitting four.
It was the typical big guy beats the littler guy down. And then, I'm sorry, this is a kind of like an issue I have with the stomp, though. Because he's used it. He used three of them to beat Lesnar, correct?
Yeah.
And then he used four of them tonight to beat and a pedigree too, I believe.
He brought
the pedigree out. But my thing with the stomp is I don't like that every match that he's having against bigger opponents is using like 4-5-3-4 of them to end it, because I feel like that it devalues the finisher like a lot of other finishers have become nowadays.
I love indie wrestling. I love a lot of wrestlers there, but Kenny Omega's V triggers became the same way.
Yeah.
Young Bucks super kicks become the same way.
And I feel like,
which that's just kind of everywhere, and this era of wrestling's huge on spot fest.
Well, and it's like
has that indie background. He was the one calling that match. So,
and I feel like the stomp was one of the last remaining few that has actually kind of avoided that fate. But he used it. He did it against Lesnar twice, by the way. And then he uses it tonight 4 times against Strowman. And
I think it's awkward. You want to keep the stomp strong, but you want to keep Strowman and Lesnar looking strong. So I guess it depends on what one you want to pick.
Well, and then it's like, and then it's also the kind of typical, he gets beat down and then pulls out from the bottom of his arsenal his best moves and then somehow overcomes.
Well, he overcame a guy that got hurt because for whatever reason, Strowman jumped off the top rope and landed on his knee awkward, and that's how the finish happened.
Yeah, Strowman should never jump off the top rope ever again. But, you know, and then the best part, though, wasn't even the match, because the match itself was literally nothing special. No.
It was pretty much what we saw with Lesnar twice, but with a couple different moves.
Yeah, with a guy that actually knows a couple more moves than Lesnar does. But anyway, you know, it was nothing special, but then, I mean, of course, the ending was, I guess the dirt sheets got that one right. The prediction of Seth and the Fiend, Hell in the Cell.
And WWE tried to fort rumors by saying Rollins was going to lose a title tonight.
Yeah.
Make it sound like maybe he was going to lose the Universal title.
Hell no.
But everyone knew, I mean, it was leaked a month ago that it was going to be the Fiend versus Rollins at Hell in the Cell.
But now the bigger question is, where do they go with that?
Yeah, see, that's where this could be potentially booked amazingly.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those moments. You have something new. You created something new, and you have all the way. You have what, 3 weeks? I believe 4 weeks until
six. 4 weeks top.
Yeah, it's like 4 weeks tops. I don't have my calendar pulled up. So
if it's the 6th, it's the 15th now. So about 3 weeks.
Yeah, about a little over 3 weeks. You actually have the potential to build up a hell of a feud here, but then begs the question though: Do you have the Fiend win at Hell in the Cell?
I have to, but then it's like when he does win, it overexposes him.
And because
he's had one match and a couple of beatdowns on Legends, and then
he's just going to be, because like then you don't want to overexpose it, because but then also you don't want to end up having another champion, another Lesnar-esque champion who is only for the big time fights. And
yeah, the thing is, how long are they going to let the Fiend have the belt? Because he holds it and he loses it 4 months later. I feel like that just,
yeah,
and then gimmick. I feel like he has to go win for at least a year or so to show how dominant he is.
Yeah, like, it's like you, but because like, and then you also in a position where if you build up this amazing feud with Rollins but have him lose at Hell in the Cell,
he's not gonna lose at Hell in the Cell.
But then
they're gonna put the towel on him early, and then at some point he's gonna lose way too earlier than he should.
The biggest thing, I mean, I agree with that, it makes perfect sense, but it's like once he gets the title though, that's where the big booking is going to come in, because you can't have him lose 2-3-4 months after winning it. You, I mean, you got to let the dude have at least pushing at least 9 to 10 months.
Yeah.
To establish the not only credibility but the character and the position of him, and you know, there's so much factors that go into it once he has the title. But the main thing right now is just properly building the feud up.
So that means I can also see him having them lose at Hell in a Cell already.
Yeah, because
has Strowman cost him or son.
Yeah, or that other guy that we mentioned for SmackDown costing him hit.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a feeling, because then he'll go and he'll wrestle who? Freaking Kofi or Lesnar at Survivor Series? If it's Lesnar, Lesnar's probably going to win.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They've got, they're entering this time period where it's like, you know, they got Hell in the Cell coming up, and then after that, you're looking at Survivor Gears Series. Kick up. It's like, you know, you're looking at Survivor Series.
And two months later will be Royal Rumble.
Yeah, so I mean you're looking at a pretty like important booking time right now.
So you only have two, you know, whatever pay-per-views. It'll be Hell in a Cell and then TLC.
Right.
But after that, it's a whole bunch of credible pay-per-views. Cause
yeah, so you've got to
after what it'll be TLC in December, then it's Road to WrestleMania. So
yeah, so I mean they've got to start making the if booked rights more frequent.
So you only have two Road to Getter pay-per-views left.
Right. So then, you know, you really got to start thinking long term here, going into, you know.
But these pay per views set up Survivor Series. This one set up Survivor Series, so there's gonna be a whole bunch of domino effects that happen from.
Right. So you got to make sure that it's done right, because Survivor Series, I still say, is one of the big ones of the year.
Big four.
So you know you got to make sure it's there. It's booked right. So I guess we'll see what happens.
So what would you rate the show?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to put it at a 5.5.
I don't know where I want to book it. Because the first half of the show was awful. And I'm not saying the matches were bad. I just think that none of those matches were heavily invested in storyline-wise.
Right.
And the crowd didn't care. But the last half, you know, Becky on was pretty good.
Yeah, so I mean, that's
why. Well, besides Bowen and...
I mean, I'll put it at a 5.5 strictly because like the second half with Sasha and Becky, Randy and Kofi, and then the Fiend moment, I think it
learned the surprise of Harper
earns it. Well, and it's, you know, it was cool to see Harper come back, so that at least earns it an average rating.
Yeah, because I mean, I've been seeing people say it's the best pay per view since WrestleMania, which I mean,
what the?
Well, WWE wise, I mean. I can see it. That's not saying much, though, because the pay-per-views since WrestleMania have been pretty...
Yeah, pretty average.
So I would say 5. Literally, the definition of average is pay-per-view one.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'd put 5. And I could see why people would say 4 or 3.
Yeah, I could definitely co-op with that.
I could see why people would say it lower.
Right.
But, I mean, I can see why people say higher, but once again, we haven't really gotten any good pay-per-views since WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, I can see...
I ain't saying much in that opinion either.
I mean, I can see both sides of the statement.
That's
there.
Why I'm saying average, because I can see both sides of
the fence. Yeah, I'll put it right there in the middle, because I can see one side and I can see the other side.
All right, well, on that note, I think that about wraps up the show. So, on that note, stay gold, my friends.
Deuces!